All right, guys, we're getting going, man. Fight Bananas, we're live like always. My main man, Christian Woodmansey, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying my downtime with the current coronavirus pandemic, but can't complain too much. What about you? How are things?
Man, doing good, doing good. I saw a family man underneath on a roof. So we're busier than usual. It's madness. It's crazy. It's a lot of fun. We look forward to walks and, you know, watching one show together as a family. So it's a little bit different. You probably know that, man. I kind of in years, all the traveling you've been doing, it's a little bit different and more unique. It's a little bit more homey, stay at home. So, we're making do, you know?
No, it's great. I mean, obviously, any kind of family time is important, you know, and I know it's a different type. Sometimes, you know, a lot of something can be very intense, you know. I know what it can be like just constantly being around with people in the same room, your own kids or your wife or whatever it may be. But yeah, I mean, it's fortunate, you know, it's some people obviously don't even have the ability to do so. So I know challenging times, I know there's lots of positive opportunity, which is great. But definitely unique. It's awesome to hear that you're spending time with your family, big family, which is great, you know. So I hope they're all safe and healthy. Needs to go that way. So hopefully your sanity, everybody else is the same as well.
Thank you, man. Yeah, we've been doing a lot of podcasting too the last 10 days. We've had 15 episodes, a ton of, you know, UFC fighters, but anything. We love people on the rise. Putting out a lot of content's king. So let's get into it. First of all, kind of last thing on the corona is, how's your gym doing? You know, Magic Philly, right? In Philadelphia, one of your Instagram posts was rated for 10,000 square feet. So how are you doing? How's the gym doing? You know, I know that's been hard for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, the coronavirus, obviously, I think hit everybody hard, you know, so it's hard to compare and say, like, you know, how we're doing compared to other people. But I mean, myself, my staff, Morgan, who also owns the academy, we've worked very, 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 very hard building the environment that we have so we can kind of handle as many different situations as possible. Obviously, no one could have foreseen this. I mean, no one could have predicted it, you know, and sometimes the things that we don't know are going to happen are the ones that are most impacting. But everybody's dealing with it really well. My students are still super engaged. They're happy. They're all currently, you know, getting access to Atos HQ's online membership website. So they're enjoying that. The academy, you know, obviously it's tough dealing with how much space we have and, you know, what it's like to not have classes is impacting mentally as well. I know a lot of people are struggling in terms of not having their outlet, but I haven't had any negative feedback thus far. You know, all my students and all my staff are kind of like understanding this is a particularly challenging time, but they're dealing with it well. Everybody's excited to come back. We're not really seeing any problems. I'm not worried about anything. There's no negative stress. And actually, with the downtime of this, it's given me the ability to kind of see some of the holes that we have, some of the things that we can make better. So in fact, this opportunity and this pandemic is going to make logic actually even stronger, better, faster, and stronger. So I'm looking forward to reopening. Wow. Not with a new face, but like just with, you know, with built up muscles, doing some prison yard workouts.
Right.
And you know?
Right. Absolutely, man. Okay. Let's kind of get into it. A couple of podcasts you have done. It's unbelievable. The power of podcasts, especially in the combat sports, mixed martial arts world. It's been unbelievable. I loved your story, the paintball, all the traveling you did. I heard you literally took one lesson, 19 years old, and then you got the itch. And you're hooked ever since. You had some ins and outs. But, you know, if you can do a real quick 5-minute, 3-minute synopsis of 19 years old to where you're at now and with Logic and Philly and all that, and then we'll kind of just take it from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, basically, you know, I'm this kid. You know, I got a chip on my shoulder. I was adopted at an older age. You know, I was adopted by the family that I consider obviously my parents now, my brothers, my mom and dad now. I was adopted when I was like 15, 16 years old. But I was already, you know, this had a very strong type of energy around me. I had a chip on my shoulder, egotistical type of thing. So when I found jiu-jitsu, obviously I was a little bit older in life reference. And so obviously looking back and seeing kids, they start younger. But I was already like, you know, trying to understand, and I was going through a lot of stipulations, you know, My dad wanted me to go to college, you know, thinking about an education, thinking about the future. And, you know, it was a very pinnacle time to kind of make decisions. So I was, quote unquote, half-assing trying to do the college thing. And I found jiu-jitsu and I kind of like just shifted everything and took a class in Philadelphia. It was at a place called Body Arts Gym. It was owned by Angel Cartagena. It's actually like a Muay Thai academy, and they were starting an MMA jiu-jitsu program. It was a Balance affiliate, Rick and Phil Migler-Reese. Shout out to them. They run a great program here in Philadelphia. And basically took one class and I was hooked. Got my blue belt in about 5 months. Got my pro belt about a year later. I joined a Lloyd Irvin affiliation here in Philadelphia. Started training with Jared Weiner, Brad Daddis. Started to get more into serious competing. I did a lot of Grappler's Quest and whatnot, but I started to see that there was the IBJJF and whatnot. This point in time, though, I knew jiu-jitsu was my future. I wanted to compete. I wanted to be, like, you know, some type of champion. Obviously, it ran linear now with my goals. Obviously, I always wanted to be a father and a husband and have a family, so I knew that jiu-jitsu was going to be that way. I didn't know how yet. So I basically traveled the country. I went from, you know, went from Philadelphia to Miami, trained with Cyborg in Miami. I was there for about a year.
Right.
I had to be a sponge, taking as much as I could from him, jiu-jitsu-wise, business-wise, character-wise. Made a shift and went over to Robert Drysdale in Las Vegas. There, I was there for a couple of years. I won some things. I got my brown belt. I became the head instructor at his academy. We basically split the classes 50-50. I learned more about business, affiliation, marketing, advertising, in and outs, just trying to, again, absorb as much as I could, understanding that one day I want to be as valuable as possible to my own academy. Had a shift of goals. You know, I was kind of like trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I was getting to a pinnacle time of where I was about to be a black belt, and I decided to switch and go to Atos, which is in San Diego, with Andre Galvao. And there, obviously, at Atos HQ is where I kind of hunkered down and I put my flag down and got my black belt from Andre, competed some more, did well, had some accomplishments there, but really ingrained myself into the Atos affiliation. Obviously, in between Philadelphia, leaving Philadelphia and coming to San Diego, you know, I was fighting MMA as well, amateur and everything else like that. I made another run by moving to Michigan. I started training MMA again full time. I won an amateur title. Then I made my pro debut and won that. And then I met my wife at the time, and we said, like, you know, what do you want to do? Made a decision to kind of start a family. Where's the best place to do it? We picked Philadelphia. My family is from here, so we came back here. You know, and logic was something that was constantly being kept in my head, building it. What would it look like? And we had the opportunity of coming to Philadelphia and basically partaking in a current already running academy. I was going to become, you know, a percentage owner, run the jiu-jitsu program. And it was all the bells and whistles, and it seemed like it was too good to be true. And after a couple of months, things started to dissolve and get a little messy. And I ended up having the opportunity of taking it all over. And then I spent about a year and a half, 2 years changing everything internally, getting ready to then make a move physically to a new location. And then I used the move to the new location as rebranding it into Logic. So what you see now was created, and it's been built for a couple of years in Philadelphia. But I mean, for the most part, you know, all the journey was coming to a head in terms of, you know, the end game, which was having an academy, building an affiliation, having students all over the world, and being able to provide for my family and anybody that is connected to us, be able to give them a, you know, a sound, comfortable living. And that's basically all we're at too right now.
Amazing, man. That's such a great story. That's a movie, right? Like, some we're going to think of a Hollywood character that's going to play you. You know what I mean? That's definitely a movie. So much to take there. Three things I kind of want to, I guess, in order. When you said compete, I've been I'm hooked into combat sports, and now especially with grappling events and jiu-jitsu events and Quintet Ultras. And I can inside of Quintet Ultra, the sub. Have you watched some of that on the UFC Fight Pass with the teams?
Yep.
I'm a big fan of it. I love it when they take, you know, JJ World and then, you know, big high end UFC names, and they put them together. And usually it's really good for you guys on your side. You know, Daniel Kelly, 10 seconds. High-end UFC fighter, Gordon Ryan, all that stuff. I love when it's kind of a mesh. It's like a once-in-a-lifetime or an all-star. I would love to see more of it. Would you be a fan of that? Would you want to get involved type matchups? Or, you know, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the format. I like the team on team type of vibe. I'm really big into super fights. I've had a decent amount of super fights for Fight to Win, for like UFC Fan Expo, for Grappler's Quest. I mean, I've done a lot of that stuff. I really like the team vibe to it, because it kind of gives it like that, like, you know, wrestling meet mentality where it's like, you know, individually someone may lose, but, you know, so it's impacting. I like it a lot. I think it's a nice soft transition and bridge to try and bring MMA into jiu-jitsu, jiu-jitsu into MMA, being able to connect that type of stuff, which is great. It's tough though, because obviously you do see them often. You see them a lot in the jiu-jitsu world. You see that kind of like that bridge MMA where like we're talking about now with the Quintet and like the type of platforms that they're on. But I mean, I'm a huge fan of them. I think they're great for the sport. Right. They're great for MMA. I think it gives people more exposure. It allows them to broaden their fan base, to see more people that haven't seen them beforehand. So I think it's great. I mean, like I said, I participated in a decent amount myself. I've never done a team type of quintet, like type of super fight event, but it's something that's definitely intriguing. I think it's something that will play a vital role in the future of combat sports, in the sense of being able to bring it to the public and have it fun. And yeah, I think it's great. It's definitely a positive type of opportunity for everybody that's involved.
Right. I love more exposure for more people and for more names. And, you know, it's the UFC, some of their names are big or bigger to that kind of audience. So when people from the BJJ world comes into it, I love it. Like I said, I like the name of the podcast before. Huge fan, you know, the endless potential. So, you know, big fan of that. Another thing you kind of hit on was talking about Michigan when you had a couple of your fights. Was it with the family? Was it kind of a little bit harder, you know, being a fighter, you know, toll on your body and just that kind of the fight game, a little bit of the grind to it? Is it the family, the wife and the kids, and kind of giving back, you know, I loved, another thing you said too, I love teaching. I was born or, you know, made into this way who I am today as a teacher. I love giving back. So with you being a fighter, would that take that kind of main reasons why you kind of
The MMA world for me specifically is tough just because of the division that I fight in. When I first started fighting MMA, the lowest weight that you saw that was available for men was 135. It was bantamweight. I had two fights at 135, and both times for those fights, I weighed in at like 120 pounds. So it's amateur. It's not a huge ordeal. It's not like a big thing, but obviously this is impacting in terms of the choices that you're going to make. Is this what's going to work for me? You know, like, back then, this is like a decade ago, just it wasn't a big thing for me to try and bulk up and put on 40 pounds. Just wasn't going to work. So as I continued with it, you know, then they debuted the flyweight division, and then there was the 125 pound division. And although this is something that I was closer to, still something that I didn't have a lot of value in. You know, I've trained with a lot of people that fight professional MMA at 125, Wilson Hayes, Benavidez, a lot of the guys from Alpha Male that are 125ers, but they cut down from 150 or 160 pounds. So still, I was just too small for this division.
Right.
A decent amount of fights at 125. And it was just something, again, like I was like, you know, I like it. I'm into it. I loved MMA. I love the aspect of what I was trying to do. I was basically taking being a world champion in jiu-jitsu and saying, you know, let me show my jiu-jitsu. It's not a relatable topic, but like trying to be like Damian Maia in the 125 or 115 division to say, my jiu-jitsu can outdo wrestling, striking, or anything else it may be, you know? So when I was in Michigan, I mean, I've always taught. I've been teaching since I was a blue belt. So I've been teaching for, you know, 11 years out of the 12 years that I've been training. But, you know, when I went to Michigan, my focus was to make a real good, strong run to fight MMA at a very large scale, you know? And I knew that I had potential. 1FC has a 115-pound division for men. They have that strawweight division for men. And, you know, I knew that I could just submit everybody in that division as long as I could get there. But it's such a struggle to get enough fights, especially at 115 in the States, that one, you're not paying out of pocket to create
the
politics. So I did my best to kind of create it. And it was just so much sacrifice that it was hard to kind of make sense. You know, I've now building relationship with my fiance, my wife, having a baby, you know, I've got responsibilities. And it was just that I don't have the energy to take away from trying to invest in my students and invest in my growth to be able to go to the Philippines and go to Thailand for 6 months to train and try to make contacts just so I can make this organization work. But it was a serious type of growth. I love MMA. all my fights that I took, I won first round submission. So I felt great about it. My only loss was a 3-round decision, you know, and like it was a humbling aspect. It made my jiu-jitsu better, you know, but like I've always been a jiu-jitsu guy. The problem is just that with my size, my opportunities are a lot harder to obtain in the 115 pound division, you know, and as I'm getting older, right. It's just something. If the opportunity was dropped in my lap, I would 100% take it. But now with an affiliation, with an academy, with a wife, with a baby, you know, it's just like, I'm going to go away for 6 months and do a camp in Thailand or something. It's just not worth it to me anymore. But
right.
Jiu-jitsu is a lot easier. You know, it's something that I can train consistently for. It's something that I can do here. It's something that I've already obtained. And I kind of know how to create that process, that algorithm for success. So it's a little bit easier to do, but my passion always been, and it's always going to be teaching. You know, I love to be a leader. I love to be able to impact other people's lives. And I pride myself on my ability to teach, and I'm always trying to make that evolve. So that's where my focus is now. And I'm kind of like putting a lot of energy into that. And I'll go back to whatever type of combatives that I want to do, you know, maybe like a year or two, once the academy is more thriving and I've got, you know, 25 black belts and other instructors I can help out.
Wow. Awesome, man. Very, very cool. You threw Cyborg out there training with her. You said for around a year, you threw out the Alpha. Maybe has there been someone that you trained with, like, wow, he or she, like, they're going to be a superstar. They're going to win championships, and just never unraveled the right way for him or her. It just never really, you know, fell the right way. Has there been like a dark horse? You're like, man, when I rolled with them inside the gym, they were unbelievable, but just never became a UFC superstar.
I mean, it's tough because the majority of my time that I spent was very jiu-jitsu specific when it was in the MMA world. So like I was never that MMA guy that was just doing MMA. I was always a jiu-jitsu guy trying to do MMA, you right. know? So spending my time, I mean, like everybody that I surrounded myself with, that I trained with, literally became or already was some type of very, very well-respected superstar, you know, whether it was UFC, Bellator, WBC, okay. time maybe. So,
right.
There's been plenty of guys that I've literally been like, you know, man, this guy has great potential. And then literally he goes out there and he kills it, you know? So like when I was in Las Vegas, it's Frank Mir, James McSweeney, Forrest, Drysdale. You've got all these guys that literally had UFC careers. They continue to fight, whatever it may be.
Right.
Time. But like, you know, and as you're going around, you're bouncing around, you're seeing new people. I mean, where I was in Michigan, the academy that I was at, the MMA, you know, facility that I was training at, all of those people, that team that I was at with Witt was very successful. You know, and they've had people that have gone to UFC. Amanda Bobby Cooper got on to the Ultimate Fighter. She had a career in the MMA world for UFC, and they've got plenty of guys that were going to Bellator. They were fighting over season one FC. They were fighting for LFA. So, I mean, I've always been around people that were definitely training very hard, and they were doing the best they could to, you know, explode their potential. Never anybody that kind of like just didn't like get a good going ahead, but. And I think that's just, you know, it's not my choice, but I was always in a specific place where I was like, hey, I need to make sure everybody here is successful. So I knew that I was in the right spot, you know? So every place right. that I was always looking for that one place that housed as many people. So I wasn't really anywhere that kind of like was behind the scenes or kind of like, you know, trying to be a dark horse academy with dark horse students. But I mean, you'd always see people pop in that just were waiting for their opportunity to explode. And I saw it all the time, you know? So, I mean, unfortunately, I guess it's fortunately everybody I've trained with that they kind of like that they've definitely taken their potential to the highest level. Great, you know, but there's definitely right. plenty of people like literally will continue to do so, you know, in the jiu-jitsu world, MMA world, like it's all there.
Wow. That's awesome. 2020, it's in April. There's no fights going on really. UFC 249 canceled and all that. Is there someone or him or her again, even a couple names out there that are, you know, when they fight UFC or, you know, one or Bellator, I'm watching her, you know, is it still like a guy like Damian Maya I hear all the time, Gilbert Burns, he's been on the show before, just unbelievable skills. Is there someone that you love to watch? Here's $65 ESPN. I'm watching.
I mean, I'm really big into like, I'm not a big fan of like the trash talking aspect, but I'm really big into like the mentality and the focal point of like Conor McGregor, how he kind of likes, he goes out there and he's all about like, you know, I'm creating what's going to take place in the future. I'm really big into that. So whenever Conor fights, I definitely watch. I'm a big fan of Ryan Hall. I've trained with him. I've taught at his academy. He's been on the Ultimate Fighter. He's killed people. Right. he's literally an absolute monster, and he's just kind of like, it's hard to find fights. You know, he just found one recently. So like, he's someone that like, I'll drop it a hat. I'm like, man, I got to watch Ryan Hall fight. But I mean, everybody else, like, because I'm a jiu-jitsu right. guy, nice to see those jiu-jitsu people, Damian Maia, Jacare, Gilbert Burns, you know, now Rodolfo Vieira is in the UFC and he's absolutely killing everybody. So like, anybody, anybody that I can kind of like resonate a little bit more with that were like jiu-jitsu world champions turned MMA guys, I'm a huge fan of instantly. So I always want to see those guys prevail and fight, but I'm hoping the private island type of gig that apparently is going around the internet for Dana White kind of works out. And it would be nice to see these fights safely and healthily right. done. But I also know like Jacare talks about literally the fact that if he doesn't fight, it's going to be hard to feed his family, you know? So like he's forced to kind of deal with the fact that he's scared about the coronavirus, but he also has to fight. So it's a tough time, but hopefully it all gets figured out. I can see these guys. We can support them. We can, you know, buy the pay-per-views and whatnot, but any guy's jiu-jitsu guy, I'm 100% behind every single time, almost blindly. I'll be like, no, this guy's going to win, you know? So definitely.
Right. That's awesome. I got a name for you. You said Vadera, Jacare, they both in Orlando, Florida, hour away, Orlando Fusion XL, Phil Rowe. I don't know if you heard of him or know who he is. He rolls with those guys all the time, an absolute stud on the mat for sure. Unbelievable. Julian Williams, but then also has got hands. And then not that, you said he has a little bit of that Conor McGregor, has an unbelievable amount of swag and really good, upbeat, real positive guy. So Phil Rowe, I'm telling you, I think he'll be a
nice. What weight class does he fight at?
Welterweight.
Nice.
Really long, lean. Right. And then the Conor, did you, in January when he fought Cowboys, I'm with you on that one. I loved him. He had a lot of positive, a lot of swag, a lot of, hey, I'm going to get the job, really positive, respectful way. And then same thing. I'm with you, man. He brings a little element of fun. It's a must-see. When my wife wants to watch it, that's when you know that you got something. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really, you know, UFC is still young and building sport. But when she's like, hey, is Conor coming up yet? I'm like, no, not yet. He doesn't have something yet. I'll let you know, you know. So I'm with you on that one. Conor in January was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely nice to see that more building up the fight, but in a positive way. And I think that it was definitely the connection
right.
to how Cowboy went about it too. But, you know, like, it's tough because I definitely know that Conor McGregor is a very intelligent person, you know, and like he knows. And if you listen to him, you got to give him the respect because he dissects everything. He studies everything. And like, he's not this guy just goes out there and he's like, hey, I'm the best. I'm just going to fight someone. Like, so I definitely think to a degree, you know, he's a mental fighter as well. He knows how to get in people's heads. He knows how to use that to his advantage. He knows how to self fight. So I definitely think that, like, you know, I've been around him, you know, I've been in his presence and the understanding of like, he's intoxicating to be around, you know, and the fact that like, he's got that kind of persona and he's able to back it up, but he's also a good human being. You see what he does for the public. You see what he does with other people. And obviously he's a human, he makes his flaws, but like in my eyes, in terms of who he is as a person, like, you know, it's great to see like what he does and how he can create more popularity for the sport. Cause I mean, in the end, that's what you want to do, but he also does it in a positive way. And I know he's slipped up in the past, but it was great to see that type of sportsmanship with Cerrone, to see that kind of outcome with Cerrone, to right. see how he predicted how it was going to go down, what he said he was doing. And then he actually did it. And then how he handled it afterwards. So for me, it was like, that was a perfect example of like an end up.
Yeah. 100%. You mentioned about with Ryan Hall about going to his academy, right? And about like you traveling and teaching classes and seminars. I would love for you to hit more on that. And I also do, like, you know, hey, this is time. We'll go out to everywhere. What you sell it? Where can people find you? Where can people get a hold of you to reach out for seminars? Because I definitely think you're that guy that more schools should get a hold of. Pick your brain. Use your. You're a great tool. You have so much knowledge of the game. I think it would be unbelievable for any gym nationwide.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, right now, obviously, with what's going on, it's different, but I'm continuously, I almost go away every weekend to teach a seminar, and it's not even just sometimes in the US, it's internationally. You know, I've got affiliates all over the world, but I'm always available. You know, I'm always reaching out to people. I'm always doing my best to, you know, make it work for the academy, you know. So, but I mean, like, yeah, it's easy to contact me. You reach out to my private Facebook, you reach out to my fan page, reach out to me on Instagram. I literally respond to every single message, sometimes a little harder than others with how many are coming in, but I'm always available. You know, I'm always looking to come out. literally teach seminars for kids, adults. I do gi, I do no gi, I can do wrestling, I can do MMA. So like, you know, it's for me, like if someone's interested and they want to grow and they want to quote unquote invest into their academy, help their students grow, like I 100% guarantee my product. I'm a fan, I'm behind it as well, you know? So, I mean, I'm always available. Obviously things right now are postponed, but my book is pretty much full for the next like 8 or so months, but there's always spots in there that I can kind of fill in, and there's always spots for later. Yeah, I'm always into it. I think I teach more jiu-jitsu seminars than anybody I know. So if anybody needs one, I'm always open-minded to do it. Just let me know.
That's awesome, man. That's really good to hear. Like I said, Instagram, even the website, we've been throwing it up there, couple.com. I just really want to push anyone that's watching, listening, we'll get this out there for sure. It's just a last but probably not least, hopefully we're back in the swing of things in May, June by the latest. You know, what do you say to a lot of people that are on tough times now, used to kind of getting out there, or maybe don't have a job? I know a lot of local gyms that are doing tough, you know, they're doing stuff on Zoom and they're trying to, it's just losing money. What do you kind of say to kind of a lot of owners and just almost the man at all, you know what I mean? How does everyone keep it going, keep their mind sharp and get past this?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important aspect is the kind of like, we're always fighting to kind of figure out, like, you know, obviously the MMA academies, Jiu-Jitsu academies, it's people's outlet. It's also a business. It's people's jobs in both directions, whatever it may be, you know? And, I mean, it's tough because right now we really need to band together, you know? So like, this is when it's important to be a part of affiliation where you can reach out to people, get some help, bounce some ideas, whatever it may be. But like, I mean, for me, my advice to give to people, whether they're students, whether they're owners, whatever it may be, is, you know, keep people engaged. Let people, like, you know, stay in the loop, be authentic with your students, be authentic with your instructors and your professors and your coach, whatever it may be, but just stay engaged, you know. And it's tough, obviously, because you're in the house or you're limited to what you can do outside, and obviously you can't train, but you want to still make sure you're stimulating yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever it may be. So you're kind of just missing that little bit of peace that actually takes place when you actually go to that location. But I mean, for the most part, there's so much information that's available on the internet. You know, you can, if you're an MMA guy, you can watch tape. You can talk to your coach. You can be like, hey, you know, what are some things that I can be looking at right now? It's a communication game, you know, and it's important to be authentic and be communicating very clearly when you have thoughts, like, you know, bounce them off someone, ask questions, whatever it may be. But like I said, we just got to band together. I don't know when it's going to be over. I'm hoping it's over sooner rather than later, but I also wanted to make sure it takes its course appropriately. We don't come into it too prematurely, you know? So for the most part, I would just say, the tough thing to realize is that it's not just like, you know, a group of people that are not growing. So it's not like, you know, hey, Bill's not training for 3 months and Ronnie is, and he's going to be great. You know, like everybody's not training. So it's tough to feel like, you know, we're kind of all falling behind. I mean, to a degree, it's like the Avengers, like this is part of the blip right now, you know? So, I mean, we're all going to come out of it. We're all going to be at the stage, you know, but, like I said, I think it's important to stay engaged mentally and physically. Don't let yourself go. Stick as routine to your diet and your daily habits as possible, and just kind of stay as mentally focused as you can. You know, and this is just a challenge. It's only going to make you stronger. So the key is to take that opportunity, stay positive, and just grow.
Man, I love it. I was going to let you go. Really appreciate your time. I want to talk to you as often as I can. I love really talking to mentors. So, are you a fan? We have a 3-year-old son. We're on Disney Plus all day, every day. We watch Iron Man 1. We watch like some classics from the old school. He's 3. You know, he knows bathroom, apple juice, but he literally goes Iron Man 1 line in the movie. You know, sometimes he's rooting for Thanos. He's not rooting for Thanos. He's got the ins and outs. We're all in, man. Are you an Avengers guy? Are you all in on?
I'm a huge Avengers guy. You know, I've always been really, really big into Marvel. I've been big into Iron Man and Captain America. But like you can talk to my wife, you can talk to, like, you know, some people who know me, like I'm totally into it. Like I've got this Avengers book philosophy here, you know. But, I mean, I'm into it. Like, you know, I spend a lot of time Disney Plus as well, watching stuff by myself, watching stuff with my family. And then like, I'll watch YouTube videos of like breakdowns and Easter eggs, but like I'm really big into it. It's actually, for me, it's like really impacting to to hear the quotes and to see what's going on. So like, if I could, I'd only watch Marvel movies for the rest of my life. I'm a huge fan.
100% agree. My oldest son, 7.5. We've had some great into live events all over the travel a lot. We tried to get probably top three moments of my life. He's watched 10 of them. It's the last scene. He's walking down the hill by himself. You got a million bad guys and people start popping up and back and he gets the handle and he goes, "Avengers assemble." My son has the biggest smile. It's like the Grinch, you know, and the smile keeps on going and going. He thinks it was the best thing in the world. He's almost like teary eyed or running. Come on, man. It's nothing better.
There's nothing, man. Like I love watching just the reactions of people. Their first, the premiere, yes. People go and people are freaking out when Captain picks up Mullenhorn. He's just, everybody's screaming and everything else that. So, I mean, the movies do such a good job with being able to impact the specific parts of your brain to make you feel these emotions that they do a stellar job, you know? And I mean, the Russo brothers do a great job, right. But everything they do is gold, you know? And it's great that you have men and women, children of all ages, people that are into it, not into it, and they still watch it. They kind of have the same type of emotional feeling, you know? So, I mean, it's something that's great, you know, and I'm really looking forward to some of the stuff that's coming out in the near future, you know, but it's great to have Disney Plus right now. Like I literally watch it over and over and over again.
Oh yeah. Like I said, with us, with all the kids, we're on it all the time. Last minute kind of thing on it is, you know, when we were growing up, we're around the same age, Iron Man, even Captain America, he was kind of more nostalgic. It was all about, you know, Batman, you know, Superman and Spider-Man. They were to me, the three biggest Captain America guys. 6 years old, 10 years old, I was always team Captain America. And I always felt like an outsider. I met my wife 8 states away and I had my favorite Captain America shirt on. And we're talking, you know, we're vibing, what up, girl? You know, I'm wearing a nice jacket. And then, you know, we're kind of saying bye. She's like, "Hey, that shirt," she's like, "Little Captain America?" I was like, "Yeah, it's my favorite shirt. He's my guy. Captain America's my hero, you know?" She takes off her beautiful dress, whatever, underneath she's wearing it. I was like, Let me get a ring on it, you know? So she had me hooked right there.
You could literally reenact that or share that story and it would go viral because it's literally it's perfect, you know? It's great to see that. It's something that big but small can bring people. I wish that I met my wife in such a way, you know? So, I mean, that's amazing. Great to hear.
Oh, that's awesome, brother. Man, appreciate it. I had a great time talking to you. Continued success. Everyone go to the gym. Check out logicphilly.com. Check my main man out on Instagram, Christian Women's. So much respect. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
No, man, I appreciate you guys having me. You know, it means a lot to me. It's awesome. I definitely enjoy this conversation a lot. Like I said, I hope you and your family and everybody's safe and healthy. Stay strong. If you guys need anything, let me know. But I really appreciate you guys having me on. Had a blast.
Appreciate it, my man. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.